and he's his business is going crazy.
She does. It's easier to see.
Where's Roy? Is he coming?
He's texting him right now.
He was probably up at the beach.
That's what I'm thinking. With this warm weather, I hope he's. Hope his business is starting.
It was hot today. I got hot a couple times in the yard. Amazing. It was hot.
Amazing.
What are you doing in the yard?
Mulching.
Why don't you come on over and do mine?
I got two more beds and I'm melting. I told myself I'll never plant another tree or bush. I went crazy 1 year. Planted like 12 trees and like 30 bushes 1 year, the year we had the drought. So then I was a slave to the hose to keep it all alive.
I hired a guy to come take care of my stuff.
Well, I got Dylan. He comes on Friday. He cuts me, weed eats me, vacuums, and blow dries everything, blows off all my jets and everything. $50. Him and the two Mexican show up, and they're done in an hour. Take me all day to do what they do.
It's just no time. I got some guy by the name of Octavia. They call him Little Buddy. He lives over. Gabe Purnell brought him over to my house.
But I had him.
I use him.
I had him do my mulching 1 year and everything. It was three guys times 4 days. It was $1,500. I said, whoa, I gotta do this myself.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started then. Is all right if we'll get started? Roy will be a few minutes late, and
Your pleasure, sir.
No,
we will take out the difference behind in his pay, right? Which won't leave him anything.
Won't leave him anything after all these years.
Okay, we're here tonight to begin the second part of our seven-week process of having presentations and recommendations and ultimately approval of our FY16 fiscal year budget. Tonight, we'll exclusively be discussing the utilities budgets, or sometimes people call them the enterprise funds, because all money that goes towards operating these funds is not part of the general fund. It's almost exclusively, other than grants, come from fees that are charged for the various utilities. So that's happening tonight, and then we'll have a final overall budget work session where we can basically any aspect of the budget that we want to discuss on the 18th, and then if everything is going along as we expect, then on the 26th we'll actually have the introduction of the budget. There'll be notices put out. And then our goal, as has been in recent years, is to adopt the budget, whatever it ends up to be, on Monday, June 8th. So I will. I know everyone's anxious to get back to the good weather. So let's go ahead and get started with Finance Director Natalie Salini.
I'm going to give you a brief overview of each enterprise fund, and then I'll let each department head kind of drive through the expenses. We're going to start with water.
Yes.
Water fund. I have Jean and Marvin here. But for the revenue portion of it, it's pretty much was stayed within the lines from the prior year. Nothing really increasing except with our new community coming at the Seacoast Road, we're expecting 80 EDUs being sold in fiscal year 16. So if you look at the item, a line item 7,400 for the special connection fees, that's the increase where the revenues reflected.
So Seahawk Road's really going to help your water, and you kind of been struggling there a little bit.
Actually, water I think has been doing fairly
well.
Wastewater has been, well, we've spent $20 million in the past 5 years, and it kind of hurts a little.
That's where that difference comes from, the $132,750. Okay, special, and in the new additional special connection fees, which Thank God we set them up when we did.
And that's the water portion allocation.
Okay.
And you just put that 123 over in contingency to offset on the expense side?
Right. Okay. So overall, we have 16% increase in revenues due to the EDUs.
Was that 16 you said?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Thank you.
And really, we were a bit conservative because I believe the first phase they wanted to have 130 or 140, but we were just trying to stay on the safe side with just the 80.
Well, I think that's one thing everybody should recognize, and I know you all know because you've been through this over and over and over, but the basic philosophy of the budgeting for the town of Berlin, at least in recent years, has been to be conservative on revenues and be somewhat negative on expenses. So expecting the worst on the revenues and expecting the worst on expenses has generally served us well so far, so I don't see any reason, and I haven't had anybody recommend that we go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of the same as your home budget, you know.
If you're then the other 64 will be, if they do happen, that'll just
automatically
so much better.
Just automatically generate
icing
additional
on the cake. Yep.
Okay, just want to make sure we only discuss all this once a year, so it's kind of, if I'm preaching to the choir, I apologize. Okay.
And Marvin's been doing this for close to 30 years, he's tight with his budget.
Is he the one that's responsible for all this?
Way to go, Marv.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Good. Great job.
So with that, we're going to move to water administration.
There's a 28% increase. That is primarily from the contingency added in there, which is substantially higher, $123,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was general overhead went up slightly, but pretty much most of it went into contingency. There is a bond interest payment on there.
A bond interest and bond principal increase due to the Route 18 extension. It's the Bank of Ocean City loan that we started the repayments on, so it will be reflected on the water and sewer side.
Now, and I missed the very first part, I'm sorry.
Route 18, Bank of Ocean City loan, we have started on repaying the principal
Great.
And interest.
Excellent.
Budgeted for the increase.
Excellent. Thank you.
And any of your special connection fees, you've been putting those in a separate fund and you're going to pay that bond down with that?
Special account, not a special fund.
A special account.
It's going to water and sewer funds in a special escrow account in the bank. But yes.
Only for capital?
Yes. Capital and debt finance on you.
Great. Excellent.
Moving on, there's no other questions on administration. Treatment, one of the increases is supplies and operations, and that's basically increase in chemicals. Every year we run into that. It was chemicals, sorry. We're kind of dictated. We kind of have to, Marvin certainly calls 3 to 4 different vendors every year. He's actually found a very good vendor, and as long as he says he'll purchase from them for the entire year, we get a substantially reduced rate, but it's still every year. Transportation costs, actually they've gone down a little bit, but not in the chemical. There's a lot of insurances included in transportation of chemicals.
Yeah.
Are we ever able to piggyback with other municipalities when we buy chemicals so we can buy them at a better price?
We tried that. It was a company that came out and they asked, but every time you ever respond to them, you can get nowhere with them.
Really? I didn't know what the county did, or Ocean City or somebody else.
Question, Jane. I remember when the plant first started, one of the things you were talking about when we took the tour was folks were going to be able to come and dump their sanitary trucks and you'd be able to. Are you getting any business that way, like to offset?
We are. That's in the sewer fund, but we get about, I think it's $85,000 a year
that's
in that
good.
Septage. And it covers the treatment cost associated with it, but also, you know, gives us a little bit of a
revenue stream there.
Absolutely.
And then you know where it's going. It's not being dumped illegally.
Absolutely. That's because we are one of the few in the county that do accept it.
Great.
Any questions regarding the treatment fund, water fund treatment expenses? And again, it looks like overall it ends up going down by 12%,
yeah.
mainly because of the lower capital outlay.
Capital outlay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excellent.
And here's where the in the distribution the increase was in supplies and operations, and that was for replacement of aging materials, primarily meters. Their life expectancy is usually 10 years, 10 to 15. Some of ours have been in close to 20. We've been slowly replacing those as we deem necessary, but we haven't gone full-fledged because we're still working on the AMI system, and we that would be the prime time to really change the meters or retrofit the existing meters.
Any questions for Marvin or Jane for the distribution?
Okay.
No, we'll go right into capital expense.
Yep. This year we have very little. Pretty much just a new roof for Wellhouse 1. We've been patching that up, kind of like the community center on Flower Street. We patch it and then it leaks. And we patch it and it leaks. Luckily, we don't have people housed in the well house, but the chemicals do get wet, and we do need.
And remind me, because I can't keep straight the numbers. Which location is that?
Palton Avenue.
Palton Avenue? Yeah. Okay, thank
one
you
right
very
there
much.
At the pole barn.
It has a flat roof and one snow sets on top of it.
Yep.
Flat roof.
Who invented flat roofs?
Okay.
Thank you.
Billing and financial software, BeatsCom up close. And unfortunately, we're a little bit over what was budgeted in fiscal year 15. So we kind of asked each department head for each fund if they would be okay with passing on additional costs through the funds. So Jane and team, nice enough to agree. The $30,000 is an additional charges to the billing software that what we project in might happen in fiscal year 16, additionally to what we've budgeted for 15. So water fund administration, we're adding $30,000 to the billing software projections.
And this is the new system, right?
Right. Yeah. And that will save a lot of money on Tylenol and
and manual hours working around it.
That was a good one, Jay. No, that's right.
Any questions for these folks? Regarding, okay.
So we've turned the tide.
No.
I think so. I seriously, I truly believe we've turned the tide.
All right, then now we're going to go into wastewater.
And I just in case you weren't aware, we're having our yearly conference in Ocean City, so if it's okay, we're going to just be moving out as we give our.
Yep.
So we can
you did tell us about that.
Okay.
And
I appreciate it. Thank
yeah,
you.
We'll try to do that each year to time it so that you get a legitimate excuse to leave early without getting.
Good evening.
Okay.
So the wastewater fund revenue is pretty much in the same line with water. We have a bigger increase on the special connection fees line item 7400 for the Sea Hope Road development. And because this sewer fund absorbs the bigger portion of EDU, we have a bigger increase up here. We also go in with a little bit of increase in the sewer charges for residential homes. Jane kind of projected that we will have new single homes that would come in our area and just a slight increase out there. So overall, we have a wastewater fund 18% increase, just a little bit slower than the water fund of 16% because we added the residential charges a little bit higher.
And roughly, I know what ballpark estimate are you thinking about coming from the new hookups from single-family homes?
Well, we know that Cannery Village wants to have people moving in December.
Okay.
So that's 6 months worth of additional revenue from 40 homes.
Okay.
So we see that, and I'm probably
two more somewhere just nearby the area.
Well, there's one being built on in Franklin
or
Henry's Mill,
Henry's
right there,
Mill.
first house in.
Right.
They've been coming in. Probably one. We just signed a CO for 544 Bay Street. They're moved in. So about one a month we've been getting this year.
That's so much
and those are the
better
months.
Than 4 or 5 years ago.
That's right.
It's hard. It's still hard to comprehend. Good. Well, I hope your prognostication is on the mark, because that would be wonderful.
Thank you. We hope so too. So we'll move on to the
administration,
as long as there's no other further questions. Jamie, you want to?
I'd say the biggest increase was we increased. The reason it's so much higher is because of the contingency. There was 150,000 or 149 more added to that versus 172 last year. I would say that's probably our biggest increase in just supplies and operation. And I mean, there's just always constantly stuff breaking down, and we move water a lot. So I mean, it pumps from site A to site B, and then
our new treatment plant is phenomenal. It does a fantastic job, but as opposed to the old plant, this is highly mechanical. Everything is a moving part, and it all is driven by a motor, pumps, aeration, electricity, Tim. we think a tremendous maintenance program, but you still have issues with mechanical items breaking down.
So is that why you feel contingency is the best area to store this? And so you have a hedge against the unexpected.
Just in case.
Okay.
Yep. Now there are increases again in the bond and the bond principal.
That's for the same reason.
By 818.
And sewer fund absorbs a bigger portion.
Did you plan on paying that down? That is.
That's just started. Route 18, we just started paying on it.
Okay.
We still draw money on it because it's not
complete.
Finished project.
May I say?
Yes.
They're planning on repairing that portion of sewer at 818 and 346 May 11th. They think it'll take about 2 to 3 weeks. If they are not done by Memorial Day, they will reopen the road, clear it all up, make it look nice, have it travel through traffic,
and then
they'll resume after the weekend if necessary. They're going to try.
But their goal is Bramble, right? Or
well, if Bramble has subcontracted
to Teal. Teal is probably one of the best sewer.
So they subcontracted Teal.
Yeah.
Okay. Teal.
But we haven't had an extremely wet spring, and that was the issue to begin with. There was all the water. So.
So basically, hopefully by the end of the month, at worst case scenario, early June.
Yes.
Right?
Well, what is line 4101? It's customer. I don't understand the
customer
abbreviation.
Customer service reimbursement. Basically,
it's out from the desk. Okay. I just didn't know. I couldn't figure it out.
But you have that line on the other one, because I saw each department
pays
a portion.
Yeah. So it's basically split by the percentage, and general fund, electric, water, sewer, stormwater, observe the percent of the customer service. And this fiscal year, next fiscal year 16, we centralized some of the costs, like the rental equipment up front that we're paying, the mail stuffer, for example, and that will be split by the percent. So the customer service expense went up just a little bit through the funds.
Tell me about the 4% in salaries. Why 4?
Why 4% in salaries? 1.33. So in wastewater administration, we have Jamie and 33% of Jane.
That's right, when Mike Gibbons left.
We've allocated, we've spread Jane through department.
Right.
But even spreading Jane through departments, it still shouldn't be more than three, should it?
Well, there was an adjustment. There was adjustment in Jamie's salary. Okay, that's why. And that's as much as we can say in a public forum, but that way you've got the most direct answer I can possibly give.
That works for me.
Okay. Now you can stay on it, make sure you earn it.
Moving on to the collection system. It's basically just the...
I'd say probably the vehicle maintenance. You know, we do take care of a lot more equipment, and some of our equipment is aging, so part of the reason we're trying to get some new vehicles, because they've been breaking down a lot.
What's the collection system?
That collects the water.
Do you attribute that to age or just chance?
I feel that the trucks don't get running. You know, I mean, it's like 25 mile an hour, they stop. You know, they're cut off, then they start back up and go another 100, you know, 200 feet, and, you know, they cut them off and clean up, you know, clean and stuff. And
they need to be run 55 somewhere.
Right.
And we're not the only one. Everybody I've talked to that has city vehicles, you know, once they start getting to a certain point, it's starting to, I mean, it's just, they're not made.
They're out of shape.
Yeah.
I mean, the parallel. I've always heard that. I mean, I don't know, claim to know anything special about vehicles except that they say that if you run them at a normal rate of speed on a regular basis, they tend to last longer.
But I mean, starting 25 mile an hour and then stopping, and, you know, might get out, check a lift station, and back in and take off, you know.
Okay.
Jamie, for the new guy, can you tell me what a collection system is?
Well, the collection system is all the underground piping for the collection of the sewer.
Okay.
I mean, that's the easiest way to explain it. Okay. Anything to do with sewer, and that's
going down
the truck that runs around and takes a look at everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's 11 lift stations in town.
Okay.
We check them twice a day. So, I mean, they hit all. So they stop 22 times and go.
Isn't there one right on Broad Street, right? Yeah. You know, you ever see them back there?
Mm-hmm.
That's.
And we were there a lot today.
Troy and I haven't had our lunch with you guys yet to come and spend the day, but we're coming.
It's maybe you not want to eat lunch.
10-4.
I mean, that's up to you. I mean, everybody.
Write that down, Troy.
Poop runs downhill, but it uphill.
I mean, everybody looks at it differently.
Needs to be policy.
It's not like money to me, but.
Is it fair? Is it too much of a generality to say the collection system is the liquid that flows towards the plant?
Yes.
Anything that goes down your sink, washing machine,
any drain in your house
comes our way through the collection system.
Good question. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We're now on treatment plant for wastewater.
Treatment plant. This one actually went down slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And
decrease in utilities.
Yeah, we did overestimate the utilities last year, so that went down somewhat.
Did you lose a person?
I had a person.
The last year and a half, 2 years in this fund, we funded 2.9. Now we're changing that to 2.1, and stormwater was, we allocated a 0.1 there, now we're moving that 0.1 here to the 0.9.
Right.
Because they're actually engaged in doing all this different work that's been funded. All right, that makes sense. So we flipped them, basically.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll see that increase somewhere else.
Yes, we will. But Jocelyn is a whole person.
Good. That's good.
Got it.
Thank you.
Spray site. And this went down substantially. I think we were hesitant last year because we hadn't had a full whole year of the new spray site. And so we're trying to be
conservative. Conservative by overestimating expenses.
Exactly. So now that we know that we can operate it efficiently and at a reduced cost, that's what our goal and intent is.
You didn't know you were going to have to come up with $30,000 for that new software system, so everything going down helped you find that money.
It sure did. Well, we find that because that's desperately needed.
Thank you. Looks like you may have some flexibility in utilities based on prior year and where you are now.
We're kind of not all the way till the very end. The number that you're looking at is of April, but the hardest months coming up, May and June, so that will bring it a little bit.
Okay.
And right
up
now,
to
I mean,
the projected fiscal year 15.
We've actually started.
But the actual for 13-14. The
that
actual
was
13-14.
Okay.
That wasn't a whole year?
Mm-hmm. No, that was a whole year.
Okay,
fiscal
well,
year
that's
14.
That's less than 50.
Okay. We're looking at 14, okay.
Well, that was a full year, but not
at both spray sites.
Right, not at both spray sites.
Okay.
So that's
you weren't running at capacity rates.
Right, we weren't.
We started like 5 months late in that year, okay. 4 to 5 months.
The 5 mile range.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Good question, though. Thank you. Is there any other questions related to the spray site? Our sites, actually, I guess. Okay. All right, next we'll go right into the capital budget for the wastewater fund.
We would like to replace a 1996 Ford Ranger with a new larger vehicle. The Ford Ranger's a little 5-speed, couldn't carry a whole lot.
Yeah.
I basically use it to travel back and forth to work. That's why it lasted from 1996.
20
years. You let them tear it up.
Okay. And the trailer, we would like to buy something that we could, you know, we have a backup and everything that we don't have to pay somebody else to move it for us. You know, if we have to get it worked on, we have to do some Hastings or Croppers or Bunnings Garage to get everything moved. And
but now you can pull your own weight, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay.
We can. You know, it's going to save us in the long run being able to move around equipment.
Absolutely.
Are you spending a lot on that?
You can't move it around.
It depends. Some of the, like the two of the tractor got spray sites, one's a 96 and the other one's a 98. So, I mean, they're getting some age film.
You're getting a new one, right? To cut, didn't we budget last week for
that? That would be
for Public Works.
Public Works, okay.
And these actually stay at the spray site. But a lot of times, instead of calling Hastings, we physically drive them down the street. Again, that's.
Yeah.
You know, it's
makes
what
sense.
We need to do, but it's not good wear and tear.
No, you need a trail. You need to be able to.
But again, it's another one of the reasons that, not the only one, and not a real significant one, but it's another reason for intercooperation and then joining of the two public works and waste and water resources.
And you can use that trailer
anywhere.
Yeah. And if you hook this trailer to a truck, will that require a different license?
No, because we're making sure we stay under that weight.
Okay.
Good question.
Okay. He's Fulham tonight.
Okay.
And
no DOTs.
Yeah.
And
so, you know, for those, the question that Dean asked, the state of Maryland does have an exclusion, as I'll call it, when it comes to CDL. We've got a different weight variance, is what it boils down to, for gross vehicle, gross vehicle weight.
Yeah.
Good.
And under the treatment plant, it says filter for the disc filtration. That's like a 5-year part that, you know, nothing that you can tell before out. It just usually between 5 to 6 years, they say to replace it. It's coming up on.
So is that what would you call preventive maintenance?
Principle.
Yeah. So you do it before it fails.
Yeah.
Because if it fails, it's the whole system.
We don't have no choice.
Yeah. Okay.
And same way with the UV light and sensor. We've been dealing without the sensor for. I was trying to just try to get into budget, and the lights are coming up on 16,000 hours, and they're once they hit 16,000 hours, they lose like half their effectiveness.
Okay. Yeah, that's critical to the whole operation for sure.
Yeah, great.
Very good. Any questions for the proposed capital expenses for the wastewater fund? All right, now we go to stormwater. Thank you, James.
Thanks, Jamie.
Hey, Jocelyn.
Stormwater revenues, we've lowered down a little bit up on residential and non-residential just because we had our first few trial years where everything got calculated and estimated, and as the time passed by, we had some requests where recalculations were done, and we had to adjust our numbers a little bit down.
And basically, that hasn't the philosophy and approach been if there's a benefit of the doubt, we give it to the customer?
Exactly.
I mean, as long as it's reasonable.
Right.
Okay.
Is this like recalculating like the pervious and non-pervious on the commercial?
Mm-hmm. And where people would change, for example, from pervious to not pervious, we would give the refund and we would adjust the calculations back if somebody went green on the property versus pavement. Mm-hmm. So the $12,000 in total is a decrease on the regular operating income. Stormwater is a very lucky fund because it has the most of the grants received, and we've budgeted those grants, and they pretty much got allocated to the capital improvements and stormwater improvements for the three phases that got projected for fiscal year 16, but we will look at them in a little bit. So overall, it's a big increase, 62%, but just because we have a big sum of grant money is out there.
And that's going to vary over time.
Right.
Hopefully it'll never go away, but thank goodness we've got the big money in the front end.
That's a lot of money, too.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
That we wouldn't have had without this utility.
It'll we're probably, 5 years away or more from knowing what, after we get all the big phases done, what our hopefully annual operating costs are, because hopefully we won't have to redo any of that anytime in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a while before we get there, right?
I would say 5 years, you're right.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because, you know, people ask questions and I give them the best answer I can, and that's the number I've been using,
To another way of looking at it, I mean, we're collecting $158,000 projected for residential and non-residential in the stormwater fees, but look at what we're collecting grant, you know, we're collecting $150,000 to get almost $2 million. I mean.
Yeah. That's, again, is a good point to make, that the people who don't understand why we did, and they're not in this town. I'm not getting it. We haven't gotten any grief. But the folks in other places in the Maryland who don't understand, you'll never see that grant money unless you set up a fee structure that's dedicated to stormwater. It's not nuclear science. It's not rocket science. It's basic mathematics. And, sometimes I think that's an issue where ideology gets in the way of basic math. And, hopefully, over time, people will see what we're doing and say that we're not violating any of the Ten Commandments, and we're not violating the Constitution of the United States, and we're not violating common sense. And hopefully all that issue will fade away. But in the meantime, I'm very proud that the citizens have given us the support to be able to show that this is possible and it's beneficial.
And you can see the improvements. We had a lot of rain and a lot of snow. I mean, the ground was really saturated. Yeah. And then when we did have those rainfalls, I measure it and, you know, things aren't flooding like they were, knock on wood. But I can see a difference in the areas that were prone to flood. Just in the streets with the police with the cones, they're not having to come out as much. I'm sure you don't get the calls like you were in certain areas. I mean, I see a difference.
Just driving around, I've seen a tremendous amount of difference. We do get probably about the same phone calls, but not the severity. And that's a big issue. It's hey, it looks like it's getting better. I can say West Street, we haven't had any phone call since we put in that there. Knock on wood, you know.
Right, sure. Tomorrow could change everything.
That's right. But it's even beyond baby steps. I mean, we're taking good some decent strides towards working on these stormwater issues, and just cleaning out the pond, just cleaning out the conveyance systems, the ditches, as people like to call them. Yeah. But they serve a purpose, not just, you know, to deflect flooding, but also to filter the water. Mm-hmm. And it's working in a lot of places. And after this year, we will have even more areas that
will. And it is interesting. It's just my observation. I know recently I had two people in East Berlin who I've known for a long time ask me to pass on to you, which I told we talked about a little earlier. They were checking their stormwater conveyance, which we all call a ditch, and they did too. But they checked it out and they saw some trash in it, and they immediately brought my attention, which I don't think if people weren't paying that fee as minimal as it is, that they would be paying attention. Suddenly, when you pay for something, it has value. Mm-hmm. And if something has value, then you want to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I think, a classic example it's kind of like a kid. If a kid gets too much of an allowance and doesn't have to work for it, they take the money for granted. Right. I think it's the same with certainly municipal services. I don't want to begin to talk about the rest of it, but with municipal services, if people get a value from it, then I think they help us take care of it. So anyway, I just want to throw that out to you for what it was worth. Any questions?
I was just going to say that the biggest increase, obviously, is the projects that are slated to be completed or at least begun this year in the stormwater. And they are listed in the capital outlay in here, but also on the single sheet capital outlay for $1.8 million.
Now, the list of the capital expenditures. What time period are we talking about between Flower Street culvert replacement and then the significant improvements that need to be made in Nelson, Grace, and Franklin?
Certainly, Flower Street and William Street, the designs are 95% to 98% complete. So we're hoping within the next month to go out for bids for those two, that Flower Street and the wetlands creation, because that's part of the Flower Street project. William Street culvert replacement and wetlands creation, that's all tied together. And then the Nelson Street, that's probably only about 45% design, so say August, September, before that'll be complete.
So are you saying that, again, the way it's budgeted, that all of these areas that we should, weather dependent, see some activity by the end of the calendar year?
Absolutely. Flower Street,
I love that
William Street,
I love that
no
answer.
Doubt.
Is it a calendar year or a fiscal year?
I imagine it's fiscal.
Well, by January, you should see. By August, you should see activity on William Street and
Flower Street.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
But Nelson and all will probably be next year.
Yeah, probably,
I would say so.
Spring.
Yeah.
Probably in the spring for Nelson.
Okay. Good. Because let's face it. I'm glad to. I am not unhappy that I'm getting more questions about this than ever before. Again, it shows that people are paying attention. And sometimes it's little complaints sometimes, but it's the fact that they actually know it can be improved on. And that's something that people were hopeless not too many years ago. So very good, that's wonderful news. Thank you.
Tell me about a ditch maintenance equipment. What's that?
That is like a... a mini excavator?
Like a little bobcat?
I didn't hear.
Oh, well, I was asking her because she's the expert at it. but it actually can, it's like a mini excavator that can go down and cut the ditches without tearing up. They can get between people's fences.
So it's like a bobcat size, but it's an excavator.
No, but it has like a
An arm.
An arm.
It's a mini excavator with a push arm.
Yeah, and it has like an arm that has like this cutting unit on it.
Side cutter.
Well, no, it's not. It actually
but it's on
has
the front.
A. Yes, it's on the front.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a front cutter.
Side cutter. That's on the front.
I'd like to use that too. That's me. I got a big ditch. Bring that to touch a truck.
I was going to say, next year if you approve it, we'll pull it out.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be cool.
And bring some grass to cut, too.
Nothing town hall related in your yard or near your business.
Then bring something. I'll come and cut.
Okay.
Jane, tell me about the back truck and your contribution.
Well, this will be the third year that the stormwater will designate $30,000 to be put in a fund, I guess.
A reserve fund.
Currently, we have a back truck that was 100% of it was purchased through USDA for the treatment plant. It is used.
That's the big truck.
The big back truck.
We've had it like 6 years now, right? Get a little age on it.
About five because it was,
yeah,
we got it with
five.
The stimulus money.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
So this is to help replace it when needed because it's all wastewater. Got it all. So
and we're talking
be a
about
$300,000.
It was
$380,000,
okay.
I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
We were so fortunate to get that.
This is the third year of
yes.
The set aside.
It's the third year, and if you look at the expense side, we have line item 490, where the two prior years got allocated.
Now, I think that's smart, being proactive, so when you do need to replace this truck, you have the money set aside and you're not scrambling, where are we going to get it?
Because it's such a large purchase. Yes, and
you
we
have
use
to
it.
Have it.
Right, we use it.
Yeah.
Is that the one that cleans culverts
once a
and
day.
Everything?
That's a big
it's
truck.
That one that you can pick up a manhole cover with it, but she uses it out. You can go like suck clean lines out. It's
and
awesome.
Culverts and stuff.
Culverts and
big vacuum cleaner.
Well, that
she
one
needs
will
it
be
for
at the
plant.
Touch a truck.
You know, we use it
for
we'll
be at the touch
it
truck.
Will be a touch
okay.
Trucks.
Good.
But she that's has it. To have one at the plant.
Yeah, that's just. Will you be able to do a demonstration with the
suck up for time.
Bring a manhole.
Yeah, let's go pick up some manhole cover. Let's go do something.
That's pretty.
Volunteers, Tom,
even in the 21st century, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is.
So just use your own judgment.
Okay.
You know.
Yes, it is.
I'd rather you pick up a manhole cover than. A
man.
Person.
A man. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Good. We'll start with Elroy since he's not here.
We'll volunteer him.
We'll volunteer Elroy.
We're laughing, but you would be amazed at how hard, after vehicles travel up and down on a manhole and it gets dirt packed in there, I mean, you can beat it to death with a sledgehammer trying to get it open, and you just put that on there.
Wow.
And it's right. So, yeah. I mean, it's saving everybody's back.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Very
cool.
Neat.
Yes. Great. We're easily impressed. We're really cool.
Oh, yeah. Equipment truck.
Very good. Any questions for these ladies? Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Enjoy your dinner.
Yes, yes. Enjoy.
I'll be here, and Sam is going to join me. We're electric.
Great. Good night.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
I'll go over the revenues as well, and Tim will start on the expense sides. For the revenues, residential sales, commercial sales, we'll see a little bit of decrease because of our new contract with Empower. We reflect in the decrease on the purchase power cost, but as well going to be reflected on the sales cost because of the rates going to go down.
The commercial rate?
Both.
Awesome.
Really?
We're hoping they're going to go down. The projections done according to the estimates that we received from Booth and Associates for the residential and commercial sales
so
fiscal year 16.
So how the basically what I guess I'm trying to figure out is the amount that we projections that we announced about a month ago.
Yeah, they're still holding.
They're still holding to
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what
according to the holding. If everything stays the same,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
the projections we have.
Yeah,
wow.
That's, okay.
That's good news.
And the remainder was pretty much in the line of the prior year. We estimating to have the same amount for the bond drawer, and that's for the AMI meters, but we have not kind of utilized that from prior year, so we just put in the same amount for next year.
Okay.
4% decrease in electric fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go to electric administration.
So we have a decrease in the commercial, the residential rates, and the operating cost of the department. So
of the purchase power cost.
The
yes.
purchase power cost, yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'll start with the administration fund, which is 4210. I'm going to start out at 4020, which is professional services. We'll actually see an increase there of 13%. And that is due to, right now we have booth associates, and they kind of handle all the regulatory issues for the electric department, PCAs, things like that. Well, the additional cost that you see there now is we're bringing on AMP, which is also going to require certain services. And over the, you know, a period of time, the services that Booth provides will go down, and AMP will start taking over more as we go on.
So it'll kind of reach
yeah,
sort of an equilibrium somewhere near.
Yeah, there. We didn't want to take too much away yep. from Booth because they've been doing it so long, and we want to get familiar with how AMP does things. So we're letting them start pick things up, and then the things that Booth does.
I know we discussed down. This. I'm going to say a couple months ago, in a informal meeting, in that. The idea is that we have this background of knowledge of Booth.
Correct.
They are very intimately understand what we have. They understand the reason for the transition, so there's no hard feelings here.
Right.
But we're transferring over responsibilities gradually rather than all one big fell swoop. And
that's correct.
It'd be like starting over again.
And remember right. Dwight told us years ago that eventually
they'd work themselves.
He would work them out of a job with
yeah.
us,
yeah.
Right.
you know.
Well, it's just like this coming year with the peak shaving, AMP will now tell us when to run the generators instead of Booth Associates. But Booth will be, you know, in the background kind of watching to
mm-hmm.
make sure they're doing it properly.
Yeah. Well, something that sophisticated, I think a gradual handoff, and again, we're not talking 10 years.
No.
We're talking 2 to 3 at tops.
Right.
So that's great. Thank you.
Okay. The next one there is line item 4021, employee training. You will see a increase there of 71%, and there's two reasons. All three departments have been combined now under administration. So the power plant and distribution is now under 4210. So basically that training moved into that one line item. Plus we have a apprentice lineman that is starting lineman school this coming June. That's the first of a 4-year program. So that cost of sending him to lineman school, that's included in the increase, which is an average of $3,000 to $4,000 per year.
And I remember when he was hired, the key was that we were trying to begin a transition between very reliable, very professional, long-term employees,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to wait until their last day
that's
to start.
Correct.
What do you call that?
Succession planning.
So
yeah.
that's what's
mm-hmm.
happening. We're not adding an extra place, but what we're doing is adding the people who have the capacity to eventually replace the people we have.
That's correct.
And you probably will continue doing that on down the road, right?
Yes ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So this training number is actually going to cover how many people?
Well,
possibly.
Basically, it's a total of 8 of us.
Okay.
For one apprentice position
okay.
plus whatever you need to train your
other linemen. They have to go to certain classes,
mm-hmm.
like
certified or whatever.
That type of thing, and from to get, you know, basically get their knowledge upgraded on different devices and work and things like that. On it. The next one there is the travel that goes along with the employee training. So the travel expenses. They're all under 4210 now, which, so the expenses of when they go to Lyman School, where they go to different seminars and classes, that's all under that. That goes along with 4021.
Tell me the thought for grouping all this together.
It's just centralizing the expense makes it kind of a little cleaner than we sometimes. The cost of a class or the travel expense, it's for four or five people, and to allocate it evenly, it just makes more sense. Travel and employee training or office supplies, it's kind of centralized in administration.
Okay.
The next line item there is that, which would be the, is 4096, which is the bond interest. I'm going to let Natalie explain
the bond interest. The increase for the bond principal and bond interest here, I have received a phone call from our CDA bond and bonds advisor, and we are in the term where we can participate in the Google refinance and electrical bond. We have 2004 outstanding bonds, and he's basically went over the numbers with me and advising us to participate in the pool of being able to refinance and lower the cost. But to lower the cost in the long term, we have to pay pretty much like you would go to refinance your house for the settlement. Mm-hmm. So I'm budgeting a little bit higher on the interest side in the bonds just because I'm anticipating to see some costs associated with refinancing, but going down 15 years in the future, we should have some savings.
So, in this case, we're talking roughly $40,000 up front,
right.
But what do you project would be the savings over the how many years
you say? $300,000 in 15 years.
$300,000 in 15?
If we refinance and shorten the term and lower the percent.
Thank you.
The next two line items there is the 4106 and the 4107. That's the energy audit assistance and the electric assistance fund. You may remember back when we did the rate case study that the Public Service Commission wanted us to basically upgrade the amount of money that we were putting in mm-hmm. it every year mm-hmm. for a three-year period, which was $1,000 per year. What's going to end up happening there is basically the funds for the 3 years will be available for the future, and the $1,000 increase will end in 2016, but the money will still be there. We don't have to, you know, keep adding that extra $1,000 to it.
Okay.
So it's still available. It will be there.
And it'll be, is this escrowed, or is it just assigned as a special account?
It's pretty much this line item is a special account, and for stipulation, it's going to end in fiscal year 16. But since we have $28,000 budgeted for fiscal year 16, what I see going to happen, we're going to basically assist the lower income customers with the energy bills or provide the services for energy audits.
Okay. Either way, it's a customer benefit.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Power plant, if no more questions.
I got to finish the capital outlay. I'm sorry. 4092, which is capital outlay equipment, you'll see a 10% increase in that. And that is due to, if you look under the expenditures, you'll see there's a flatbed truck in there. That's vehicle 12. It's a 1999 Chevrolet GM bed truck. It's a utility body truck. Got like these bins on the side of it. That's where we keep our service equipment and things like that. The truck basically is, its lifespan is ran out. It's got 116,000 miles on it. The brakes are going. The front end is falling out from under it. When you hit a bump, the front end, the steering wheel starts shaking. So I talked to Bob about it, basically for what it would cost to bring it up to par.
Better off
basically not worth it. So what I did is I went out and got some bids on it, and they're running anywhere from $38,000 to $40,000 for it. The next thing there is the billing software, which I think Matt already explained.
Everybody's sharing.
Right, and then you'll see in there a shelving inventory stock that's $15,000. What that is if you go by the chop tank office down here on 113, you'll notice that all their equipment is off the ground. You'll notice they have the transformers like up on these big steel shelves. I don't know if you've seen that before. And the reason you do that, it extends the life of the equipment because you're getting it off the ground where it's in moisture, and where our parking lot is, a lot of the drainage goes, when you come through the gate, goes to the right where all the equipment is at. So it's basically laying in water and stuff like that. So this is to get all our piping up off the ground, get our transformers off the ground and that type of thing.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. But definitely get a return on investment over time.
Yes, sir.
You didn't put any money in for a little solar road, a little stretch of solar road in town?
It's new.
Coming soon, right?
We're working on it.
Okay.
Did you go to the PowerPoint?
Okay. The two main things there is the 4066, which is the diesel fuel. You're going to see an increase in the diesel fuel, and the reason to that is last summer we were very fortunate. We ran six times and we hit all five peaks. Sometimes it's like the years prior to that, we could run 13 to 15 times trying to hit five peaks. This year, with the new AMP contract, there may be times that we're required to run during the winter now. Depending, like this past January, I believe it was, we hit a new all-time peak, and it was in January.
Yeah, which had never happened before.
That
had
never
happened. Always been in summer.
And that would have been one of the times when we would have ran if we were under the AMP contract. So that's why you're seeing the diesel fuel increase.
Interesting, and this, if this is wrong, let me know. But the best that I can understand from just... following the electric department for most of my life, it seems, is we always talked about using peak shaving, but also generating in order to earn income.
That's correct.
In reality, what has happened with this AMP contract is that we're doing that in a different way.
Yes.
By generating at peak times, yes, regardless of the time of year.
That's correct.
But it's the same net effect.
Yes.
It's just funny. I mean, it's been talked about for a long time, yeah, well over a decade, maybe two. It's just for as long as I can remember. So it's nice to see that even though it's not the way it was originally anticipated, that we're finally getting there. And again, I'd rather have the mild weather than the proof that it works. Okay.
The next one there is the 4067, which is the purchase power. That basically is went down 10%, and that is due to the AMP.
That's
contract.
Great.
So that's almost 290,000 less, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Make sure you write that down, Charlene. Purchase power went down.
Is there any questions on the 4220?
No, we don't have any questions about reductions.
Okay.
You'll find that, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next one there is the 4230, the tower distribution. The big one there is the utilities. You'll see a 50% increase there. The reason that was increased is this past January and February were really harsh. Our electric bills at the distribution plant on overall Schoolfield Street, they were actually higher than normal, which most customers were due to the harsh months. And then also the increase that you see there is due to the substation cooling fans that we added this past summer to help keep the transformers cooled down in, you know, hot weather and high peaks to extend the life expectancy of the transformers that we have. And then the next, the capital outlay equipment, which is that's minus 16%. If you go over to that expenditures and look under power distribution, the electric poles, there's 15 of them listed there, and basically those are poles used to replace rotten poles that we find throughout town, which we do that about every 2 weeks. Then the next one there is the 15 new services. I heard Jane mention She normally is seeing 12 to 13, 14, and that's where I got that from. And the average service cost about $1,000 to put in a residential service to a home. That's where I came up with that. And then the electric sidewalk infrastructure, I put $30,000 in there, and the reason I did that is, you remember when we did the Flower Street sidewalk and Maple Street? To relocate electric poles and things like that, that actually wasn't budgeted during that time frame. So we had to kind of pull that out of the budget that we already had. So this year I wanted to add that in there. If there's a particular street that you wanted to put a sidewalk in and we need to relocate all the electric poles.
I think as long as it makes sense, I think that's probably a good standard practice, because in some cases it just makes sense with the continuity of the pedestrian pathway, you know, and to make people suddenly have to cross the street because of two or three or four utility poles, it kind of almost offsets some of the advantage of having the sidewalk.
Yeah, when I see a new sidewalk poured and the pole still in the middle of the sidewalk, I'm like, what are we doing? You got to do something different here.
And again, that's another thing too, is the ADA. I think we'll be for a long time, but I think every time we have something we can do to our sidewalks or walkways or streets, that we want to make sure we're ADA compliant or going from non-compliance to compliance.
Yes.
Okay, great.
The next one there is the trans closure. That is actually in the 10-year plan that Booth Associates put together 3 or 4 years ago. We had a total of, 7 to 8 of those in town, and we try to do at least 3 a year, which we did the one at the Atlantic Hotel over here last time. And the average cost to do one is $10,000. And so I figured 3 of them, that would be $30,000 for that. And then also the next one is the regulator design for the substation. That is actually in the strategic plan that we put together here recently. The way the substation is set up right now is you have 3 regulators that are feeding. One regulator feeds A phase, one feeds B phase, and one feeds C phase. But you have 3 regulators, each one is feeding all 3 circuits. So if one regulator goes down, it affects the entire system. This design, basically you're putting together where each circuit will have its own regulators. So if something occurs over here, it only affects that one circuit, not the entire town.
So the most probable thing to happen is no more than 1/3 of the services would ever be impacted.
Yes, sir.
But for that particular reason.
That's right. And what we looked at in the strategic plan was to at least try to get the design completed this year, this coming budget year. And then after that year, we'll look at, doing the work itself, and we'll have to budget for that to have that done.
Okay.
The next one there is the Bantam Plus meter tester. What was going on there, the original tester that we have is a WECO. It was built in 1958. We got our money's worth. You cannot get parts for it anymore. In fact, the people from Bantam, people from Bantam came in, and when the guy saw it, he looked at me and said, "That's an original." He said, you should put that in a museum. That's original. That's the original.
Let's talk to the Taylor House and see what there is.
Auction it off.
This Bantam Plus meter tester is also the one that was recommended by the meter inspector for the Public Service Commission. Baltimore Gas and Electric is also buying the same one, and the inspector for the PSC would like us. That's the one he would like to see.
It's sort of the standard.
Yes, this is one that you can actually take out into the field. And you can test the meters right there in the field.
Okay.
The one that we have at the shop, it weighs 600 pounds.
Wow. So you have to take the meters to it.
That's correct. You have to take
so we really do get our money's worth out of our equipment.
Yes, we did. Yeah, definitely.
And what is a reasonable life expectancy for a meter test?
Like this one here?
65 years.
About 10 years.
Okay.
Excuse me, I'm not 65, and I was born in 57.
No, I'm not even going to get into that one.
Will that help you also find those meters for somebody's tampered?
No, that would be automatic meter infrastructure, which is the next one there.
Okay.
The AMR meter system, that's, we've been looking at that for a few years here, and we're basically trying to decide on which vendor we're going to go with, which amp is right now. They put a RFP out for a quote to kind of get, they're having several vendors come in and, you know, give them presentations on things, and they're trying to decide on one vendor to get the equipment at a reduced cost.
So it's like collectively, I'm sorry, just
that's correct.
Everybody pooling the resources.
That is correct.
Just like we would try to do with other things.
The meters, though, have to go along and work with our new software system?
Yes, that's something that we'll definitely make sure happens. As long as your software is what's called multi-speed compatible, it will match up to whatever AMI vendor that you have.
So that's to our benefit, right?
That's correct.
You'll be able to talk to your billing system.
Yep.
So the process we're following is financial system first, and then AMI meter second.
Right.
So we're going to need to get through the financial system, get a new place, and get it running, and then we'll be looking
But that was part of the scope, right, with the financial system?
Yes,
sure that it could
yes,
go along.
The financial system will be first, and we'll make sure that's working properly and operating. And then the AMI will follow after that to make sure they're compatible with our financial system.
But in the meantime, they're doing research to see which meter, you know, when I say they, I mean Tim and Jane are both looking at
right.
what the best vendor's going to be.
Because the water meters too, right, are going to be
right.
worked in there.
Because exactly. these are for water and electric both.
Now, what happened with the guy that was tampering? We get meters on down the road. You won't be able to be tampered with either, right?
Not under this system.
Not under, well, what happens, well, good example is DPL. When he tampered with their meters, when they finally figured it out, what had happened there, I actually had to call the guy and tell him he needs to look at it. They went back to their AMI system, and they could actually tell the exact date and time that he tampered with each meter.
Wow.
Through this remote system, they could actually tell that.
With the remote reading, years ago when I asked, they said that it would take approximately 45 minutes to do all the reads in the town. Is that still?
Not with this type system. It can be done within minutes.
Fantastic.
You're probably thinking of like a ride-by system.
No.
It's not?
No, this was done over the same wire that's going into the house, just on the other phase.
Yeah,
and is reading back.
The amount of meters that we have, it can be downloaded within probably 10, 15 minutes.
And then you only have to do the ones that are either not responding or they
that's
have questions
correct.
Or, okay,
yeah,
that's
you,
awesome.
You normally get about a 98% read, so every month you may have to go out and read 2 to 3%.
Because we average how many man hours to read these each month?
Right now, it's about 2.5 days.
That's a lot.
And it's the entire crew reading all the
scrambling.
Yeah. That's
or they could be doing something else.
That's fantastic.
So you said DP&L has this system that you had to call them and tell them to check in so many words?
Well, what happened, their system, it had each meter has to be down for a certain amount of time before it sends an alarm to them. Well, he was able to do this within minutes before that alarm was sent, the way they had it set up. So once I notified them what was going on and they started checking into it, they went back to their system on the particular dates that he was in town, and they were able to tell which ones he had been at.
But that's the way they had their system set up.
That's
but
correct.
They could have set it up so that any interruption
yes.
would have been picked up.
Yeah, but they have to have it for a certain amount of time, because if you did it too short, every little blip they had and things like that, they'd be responding to them all the time.
Okay.
Plus, their system is set up for heat sensitive, too. Once it reaches a certain temperature, they have to go out and check it right then, because there's a chance of fire with the meter, so they have that type of system also.
Yeah, Chris had a multiple.
Does anyone have any questions for Tim?
I have a question, but not related to nothing we've talked about this evening.
Okay.
The guy that came in with the windmill, how's that going?
Question.
Basically, his sponsorship resources, financial,
have
basically run into economical bad times. They were helping him fund his you know, it's windmill project, but then they started having problems themselves financially with their businesses because of the economy. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things to go was his finances.
So he has to find new backers if he wants to.
Yes,
continue.
Which he's been talking to Caterpillar. They're interested. They've talked
he's
to him.
He's got something
times.
There.
Right. So it's not something that he's definitely hasn't given up on. He's still working on it. He's just trying to find the financial backing to carry
Doug
it forward.
Doug was just here, what, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so he was back in Berlin.
Yes. And he contacts me, you know, about every 2 to 3 weeks to update me on how things are going.
Okay.
Caterpillar is a good one to be talking to because that's right up their alley, too, with the gears and stuff.
Yes. He's talked to them.
Their research and development.
That's a great good question. Thank you. Any other questions of any sort on any of the enterprise funds or utility funds?
A lot of hard work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
both of you.
I must say I'm a lot more comfortable with the electric plant than I was 6 years ago. And just seeing you do the things that, you know, planning ahead in the future and the training and, you know, internship, you know, with your journeymen and all of that. I mean, I can see a future in the electric plant now.
Thank you.
It's being run correctly. Can't you, G?
Yeah. Oh, it's a world of difference.
Night and day.
A world of difference. And many things, including all of your leadership. And I call it the team that's come together since you have been our elected utility director. Is that I do think that the morale there was not up to the levels of the other areas. And now I think it's just right there with everybody else. And it's a delight to engage with the folks when they're out and about, and I think that the public can see a difference too.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things I've noticed since I've been here in 4 years is the lights stay on. I don't like saying that because then I go knock on wood because I'm like, okay, watch, it'll go out.
Yeah, maybe you'll jinx yourself.
And knock on wood.
So.
But yeah. that is something too that, you know, we can say it because it puts you in a tough position, but it's hard. It can be done. I don't know if it's worth the effort. But if you compare our outage times over a period of any year compared to the much larger stockholder-owned
yes.
utilities, it is literally night and day.
It is.
And we're the daytime.
And the weather events this winter, we didn't lose lights, but they lost lights all around us, and there's snowstorms and all.
And our average outage is measured in minutes. And sometimes, rarely in hours, mm-hmm. their average outage is usually measured in days.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't have to listen to all those noisy generators behind me.
Yeah. Well, when you're in the dark, close your eyes and go to sleep.
Loud. Noisy.
Good. Okay. Does anybody have any other questions for these folks?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Very nice presentation, Natalie.
Thank you.
That's your neighbor. Mine's enclosed on the other side of the house.
Anyone,
I have a whole house generator now.
Bases squared away.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see. All see each other next Monday night.
Yep.
Right?
Next Monday night.
Yep. And everybody, just take care and don't forget about.
Thanks, Natalie. This budget process.
May Day, Play Day. Friday night.
That's Friday night.
Good music. Great music.
Yep.
As well, have some fun.
This is all right.
What is that?
I get to go home and play with my new phone.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, she going home to play with her new phone.
See, we're busy.
She'll be busy for the next few minutes. Good luck. I'm glad you took to let us know what you think of that.
Oh, you know I'm going to love it.
Oh, absolutely.
Watch.